Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is marketing analytics. We are going to take a look at marketing analytics in legal marketing. And our guest today is an expert in this field. Our guest is Jason Kennedy. Jason is a marketing operations consultant with Calibrate Strategies, a leading marketing operations consultancy in the legal sector. Jason is also a former in-house director of marketing operations at an Am Law 100 firm, and he helped other legal marketers in getting their marketing analytics function off the ground. Jason is finishing his master's degree in marketing analytics at the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, and is based in Nashville, Tennessee. And I was just in Nashville 2 weeks ago. So welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you very much, Guy, and Roll Tide right back at you. Thank you for having me.
I love it. I love it. So Jason, before we get started, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, how did you get into marketing operations and working in the legal industry? Like, how did you get in there?
Very good question. I was a MarCom guy for forever, and I've worked in a variety of industries. I was in tech for a while, e-commerce, rock and roll, accounting, and kind of climbed the ladder on the marketing communications front and came into legal as a director of marketing communications. And then after a little while at this firm, I was asked to take over the marketing technology function as a director of marketing operations. So it became this transition kind of within a company or within a law firm in this case, moving from the traditional kind of MarCom role to more of a technology and data-driven type role. And that is where I got really into the marketing analytics side of things. Whereas in my MarCom days, shout out to all my MarCom folks, it was all about, when you said analytics, you're basically talking about Google Analytics, right? Mm-hmm. Moving over to the marketing operations side of the house, it became a lot more in depth as, you know, essentially platform owners for a lot of the tech stack in marketing. We started getting some more in-depth questions about what is this stuff doing for us? What are our efforts getting us? How are we helping getting dollars into the door from a marketing perspective? So hearing those questions and trying very hard to answer some of those questions is really what got me into the real world of marketing analytics.
Awesome. I assume you did that at the firm you were in, and then you decided to help other similar people with the same issues, right?
Yeah, so I saw a lot of the issues in-house, and we'll talk a little bit about that, like the kind of challenges and roadblocks you might run into. But when I made the move from in-house to the consulting side of the industry in the last couple of years, I started to see what I was seeing, talking to my peers, fellow marketing directors, marketing ops directors, and other firms. I began to see that a lot of the problems were very similar across firms, whereas there was issues with data maintenance, right? Or connecting disparate tech systems in the tech stack and trying to figure out what we should be reporting on in the first place. So in a strange way, that was very comforting in a way to know that, hey, the same problems I was having, the challenges I was running into in-house, it wasn't just me. It wasn't just my team. It wasn't just my firm. This is something I was seeing as a pattern across these larger law firms and smaller ones too, frankly. So it made for an easy transition because those conversations were very much, they started out with, hey, I know the problems you're experiencing. I've seen that stuff and experienced it firsthand.
I love it. And how did you go about adapting your skill set to make this change from MarCom to marketing analytics?
That's a good question. And really, for my particular path, it was a little strange. I was getting my MBA finished up in the spring of 19, and I got introduced to statistics for business while I was getting my MBA. And it was fascinating, like all of this data and extracting all of these insights from this data to give you real insights so you can make real business decisions. Working on the MarCom side of the house for years and years and years, I was never really exposed to those kind of concepts and what the data can do for you. So that really just set off a light bulb for me. And I talked to my statistics professor and I said, look, I need to learn everything I can about this because this is where I think marketing is going. It's like, do I need to get a master's in stats? Like, will you tell me what I need to do? And he encouraged me to do two things. One was to look into this marketing analytics master's, which is what I ended up doing. I'm going to be finishing here in the spring. Hallelujah. But the other thing he told me more in general was to do your homework, right? You've got gaps in your skill set. You need to find out what those are and what you need to do to close those. And for me, it was around the data, right? Like, so how do I harness large sets of data? How do I connect disparate data into these larger data models? And then how to do the statistical analysis over top of it. So, you know, I'm looking at my desk bookcase. I can count immediately 5 books on statistical marketing, SQL development, RStudio, data science for business. Like, this is the kind of stuff, like, I got up to my eyeballs in this stuff because there's so much to learn in this area to really do it right and do it effectively. And coming from, again, my Marcom background, I didn't quite have really anything in that area except a kind of a baseline knowledge of the systems and the data that these systems produce kind of in the marketing realm. So it was really the big takeaway, I think, there was just the homework, trying to figure out what I didn't know and what I felt like I needed to know to be able to know what I'm talking about and to actually apply this stuff.
Well, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but not too long ago, I know that there was a cover of Time magazine, and it said the sexiest job in America is the data scientist. I guess that's where you're going.
Well, you know, it's funny, like legal marketing in general, and I don't think this is a surprise to anybody, but legal marketing in general is a little bit behind what a typical corporate marketing environment might be like. And I had the advantage of, you know, coming from outside legal, working in kind of the corporate world for so long, that I've got a lot of former colleagues, friends even, that are still in that world. And I'm still plugged into what they're doing and what is new, what the trends are appearing that weren't there when I was working alongside these folks. And data science, marketing analytics, marketing analysts, you know, whatever the terminology you want to use, that was a very real and constant presence within the work they were doing. So they had either these teams or this, you know, singular analyst, whatever it looks like, they had a resource dedicated to the marketing function that was providing these insights. They were crunching this data and turning around and saying, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Have you thought about XYZ instead of ABC? That sort of stuff. That's part of what's turned the light bulb on for me here in legal, because for a lot of legal marketing teams, we don't have anything close to that. We don't have a dedicated data crunching resource that's turning around saying, hey, here's something new that I'm seeing in the data that you may have missed as part of, you know, the normal work that you're doing, or here's a new angle to take on this initiative based on all this historical data that we have. That's just non-existent right now. I think that's changing very quickly, but I think that's kind of what I'm seeing, kind of talking with these firms, and of course, my own experience as well.
I completely agree, and I can 100% back up what you're saying. You know, most law firms that we deal with, you know, even a year ago, a lot of them weren't even looking at analytics at all. Maybe generating a Google Analytics report once a year and sending it to someone. No insights, no analysis, nothing. And yes, that is definitely changing. I don't imagine there's a lot of people like you working inside of law firms today, but I think talking to CMOs and others, I know that's something that over the next couple of years, you're going to see a tremendous uproad in terms of getting those types of skills and that type of knowledge at law firms. So you talked about trends for a little bit. What trends are you seeing in legal marketing that relate to analytics?
Yeah, so great segue. I think what we're seeing is those marketing leaders, they're actually paying attention. They're seeing, and not to say that they were ignoring it in the past, but I think what happened with the pandemic and, you know, 2 years ago in March, what happened was everything shut down, right? So the lawyer's typical funnel for driving business, which is very relationship driven, all that went away. There were no meetings. There were no coffees. There were no big sponsorship events with large clients. All that went away. And what happened was these lawyers turned around to the marketing department and said, okay, let's see what you got. None of our normal avenues, our normal channels are available to us for a variety of reasons. You need to show us what you can do from a marketing perspective. And I think that forced a lot of marketing teams, a lot of marketing leaders to say, okay, we've been so reactive for so long. We're doing this, this particular partner requested this, or this particular practice requested that, and we just went and did it. Now we're having to be very strategic about what we're doing. Costs are being cut. Demands are rising. Headcount is staying the same. What can we do to be much more strategic about what marketing is going to output for the firm? And that, I think, was the flashpoint for a lot of marketing leaders to say, okay, we've calmed down a little bit. We've got a good rhythm going, but we need additional resources to be able to tell us, like, are we actually thinking and acting strategically? Are we getting the return that we're expecting out of these sponsorship dollars, out of these live events, out of all of these newsletters that we send out, you know, those sorts of things. So I think the trend is going to continue to move in this kind of data-driven marketing direction. And whether that means actually bringing in extra headcount in the form of analysts or analytics professionals, or if it's more of an investment on the technical side, bringing in additional tools or building additional integrations within your existing tool set to better harness your data, whatever that flavor looks like for a particular firm, I mean, that is the trend where analytics is starting and data-driven decision-making is starting to be at the forefront of how these marketing teams are operating.
So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges right now when it comes to legal marketing analytics?
I think the biggest challenge is not knowing where to start. You know, I talked a little bit earlier about how legal marketing departments are a little bit behind on like a corporate marketing team or, you know, some large, you know, marketing department outside of professional services in general. And honestly, I lived this a little bit working in accounting as well, where, you know, you have these disparate systems that you brought in to do some very specific things. You got your CRM, you got your email marketing, maybe you've got some ERM stuff, or maybe you've got some sort of AI overlay if you're really fancy. And technology has been brought in to solve very bespoke or ad hoc challenges. But to get to this kind of data-driven marketing and have it a, you know, well-oiled machine, all of these systems and the people that are managing them, it's all got to be harmonized, right? So getting the data to be able to move across systems, being able to access data at any of the endpoints, whether it's through the CRM or through email marketing, whatever the case may be, that's a very big challenge if you have not been operating that way, which a lot of firms that I've seen, and my own was one of those where it wasn't harmonized. So if I needed to know a particular contact, what all of their activity was, what they had been up to in regards to our firm, I couldn't just get that out of the CRM. We had to go to the CRM plus maybe the email marketing plus maybe one of our web analytics tools and kind of cobble that stuff together and then try to get insights from that. And that takes time. It takes, you know, hour, 2 hours. You got one person, then it's two people, then it's three people pulling the stuff in. And that is like a huge waste of time. And I think the biggest challenge is like, okay, we see the value of having this data-driven approach and being able to look holistically on what marketing is doing and providing. But right now, getting access to all that data is still a big headache. And I think that's going to be the most immediate. It's like, how do we get all this stuff tied together to get to where we need to go?
So what are some of the tools that you're seeing that people are using to try to, you know, deal with this issue?
The main one, you could call it a tool, I guess, or maybe solution, more like it, is a custom data warehouse. And that can take many forms. It could be a true SQL database. It could be in a data lake hosted in the cloud somewhere. It could be, you know, it could be custom fit to whatever your particular needs are from a data perspective. And then partially what IT is comfortable setting you up with also to kind of help address that problem of this disparate data and these systems that don't talk together very well. Having some sort of centralized database where you kind of pull in the data points that you need all into one structured database that then you can lay over your visualization stuff and your modeling tools, your Tableaus, your Power BIs, your Lookers, whatever. I think that makes it a lot easier to get after some of this data kind of on an aggregated basis. So you can say, hey, look, I've got contact data. I've got email marketing activity data. I've got maybe potentially some phone call and exchange data if you want to get real fancy, like how we're emailing stuff through Outlook. I've got relationship scores. I've got all that stuff kind of put together, you know, nice structured database. So I've got a more robust record for each of my contacts to figure out like, who has a great relationship with us at this firm, who is engaging with our content at this firm, who's attending our events. And most importantly, what does all this stuff mean from an opportunity perspective? Like which contacts are doing all this stuff and turning around and submitting for an RFP or asking for a proposal? And then the next step from there, who's actually flipping into a client and how much money is coming in as a result of that particular proposal that we put together. It's all about trying to tie together that string, right? From all the marketing activity, all the way to the opportunity stage, proposal, RFP response, whatever. And then finally to the dollars themselves with open matters and billings collections, et cetera. So I think having a tool like that, or again, or a solution like a centralized database is pulling in the data that you need and leaving out the data, the superfluous data that you might not need, is a great first step to trying to get to that more harmonized environment.
And do you see law firms doing this right now?
Yeah, good question. So we do see some firms that have either already started building this themselves because they see the value in doing that. And then, you know, I've talked with some firms that hadn't quite thought of that, but presenting that as an option, like the light bulb turns on. They say, yeah, actually, that is something worth looking at. And of course, you know, I'll offer the caveat again that, you know, this requires a partnership with your IT group to get something like that off the ground. So it's important that, you know, if you are going to IT, to whether it's to build a warehouse or bring in a new out-of-the-box solution, whatever the case would be, that you're going to IT with a business case in hand and not just showing up and saying, hey, I need a, you know, a SQL data warehouse built to ingest data from 5 systems and I need it in a week. I think coming in and saying, okay, let's work together. This is something that we need. This is why we need it and what we think we can get out of it. Like, how can you help us get there? So I think that's an important point to make, is make IT your friends and your partners in this, and it makes this process go a lot
easier. Absolutely. Where do you see this going? What do you think legal marketing departments are going to look like 5 years from now?
So the easy answer to this would be to look at your larger corporate marketing teams. And it's kind of like seeing into the future, which isn't great from just thinking about, oh, how much further could we be right now? But it does give us the benefit to say, okay, this is where we're at. Let's be honest with ourselves. And then let's look outside of legal or even outside of professional service and say, okay, there are some larger companies out there that are running some very, very sophisticated marketing operations. So what are they doing? And look at it not as like, how can we replicate that immediately, but look at it as a milestone for your vision, right? To say, okay, look, you know, this company, they've got an entire marketing analysis, marketing analytics function within their marketing department, or I've seen some companies that say, hey, we actually have a standalone data analytics function with their own chief data officer. And rather than just servicing marketing directly, they are actually like truly cross-functional, where they're providing data analysis services across, you know, accounting, HR, marketing, whatever the case may be. But those are just a couple examples. Like looking outside of legal is a great way to get an idea of like what the like short to midterm range, like what the future is going to look like, because this is where the natural progression is going to go, particularly within the marketing analytics space. The move to data-driven marketing is going to happen. It's already happening in a lot of firms. So if you're listening to this and it hasn't come for you yet, it will be very soon. So thinking about how we can be more data-centric in the decisions we make from a marketing perspective, that's what it's going to look like in 5 years.
Love it. All right, Jason. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. But before I let you go, would you share maybe one actionable takeaway or some advice for our audience?
Yes. Shout out to my old boss, my old CSO. He kind of hit me with this nugget of knowledge once. And it was when we were putting together our annual report, right? So we just got out of January. Everybody has just finished putting together that year-end report. And something that we found when we put together our marketing department report at the beginning of the year for the previous year was, hey, this is just a report that just talks about what marketing did over the last 12 months. Here's all this cool stuff that we did. And it stops there. It doesn't talk about, well, we did this because of this larger firm goal and we got XYZ out of it. We didn't have any of that. We just said, hey, look, here's this cool campaign we ran. Here's the number of events we did. Here's the number of likes we got on Facebook. That is interesting information, but it's not telling you what marketing is doing to impact the business. How is marketing help drive dollars through the door? So if that's my one takeaway I can give you guys, something bite-sized that you can go back to your team and talk about is, how can we report on the things that we are doing that's help driving business, help contributing to goals set at the firm or the practice level? Or how are we helping to drive, again, drive actual opportunities and dollars through the door? If you can put together even just a single page with some of that information, that is going to be the first step in your journey to actually transforming how you look at what marketing does, how you work as a marketer, how your team works, and how it contributes to the firm's success.
I love it. That is phenomenal advice. And that's something I tell my marketing person all the time. Like, okay, we did all this stuff. What's working? You know, how is it driving the bottom line? You're spot on. Absolutely. All right, Jason. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love talking about this stuff, guys.
Awesome. So we're going to put a link to his LinkedIn profile, as well as a link to the Calibrate Strategies website on the show notes. So if people want to get in touch with Jason, just go there and I'm sure he'll be happy to talk to you. For our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, just go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. And there you can subscribe and check out some of our great past episodes as well. Jason, thanks again for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Guy. And thanks for everyone for listening. It was an exciting time. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. And to our audience, thank you again for being with us. Have a great day, and we will see you next time.